This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. Attention, 97.3 The Fan listeners. If you're drowsy, sluggish, or feeling fatigued, you're about to get your afternoon boost with Tony Quinn Jr.
Well, I want to see greatness.
I love greatness.
Chris Ello.
You can't swing a cat around without hitting a four or five idiots.
And Matt Scraby.
I love greatness.
Don't blame us for any side effects.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
Gwen and Chris are ready to go.
Into the 4 o'clock hour we go. Chris versus the fans on deck. 833-288-0973. Have a chance to take down Mr. Ello. No score in the Braves-Philly game so far. What else we got? Knicks-Pacers starts in about another hour before they tip off for game five tonight.
Yeah.
Outside of that, am I missing anything? No.
Well,
we can talk about this college football thing that popped up about an hour ago. You guys see this?
No. What'd you get?
According to Heather Dinesh, CFP 5 plus 11 model gaining traction as leaders' eye next steps. 16-team college football playoff model featuring the top five conference champions and 11 at-large teams is gaining traction following, of course, the SEC spring meetings this week. But the next step in playoff expansion for 2026 and beyond will depend on how quickly the sport's leaders can make a flurry of decisions.
Sure.
Critical component is the SEC's choice between staying. I had to get this part in.
Yeah.
Is the SEC's choice between staying an 8-league team or moving to 9. A topic ACC sources say could be revisited in their league after years of being dormant if prompted by playoff expansion. The linchpin to those scheduling decisions is one thing every conference seems to agree on. The need for clarity about the CFP selection committee ranks and how it ranks its teams, starting with how strength of schedule is determined and applied.
Whatever.
This is all for the SEC, you're thinking.
Well, I love the SEC. I think the SEC, because they keep threatening to do this. In fact, Greg Sankey, the commissioner, said this the other day.
He said he was asked, why are we even
in the NCAA?
Yeah.
And I have the same question. Go. You know what? The SEC, have a ball. Play your games against yourself. Have your own little championship. Call it the LIV College Football League, because you're all the good teams, just like the LIV. You know, they all went over there. They're all making all their money. That's what annoys me. The SEC thinks, and maybe is, bigger than the NCAA when it comes to college football, college sports in general. You look at the baseball tournament. 13 teams made the NCAA field in the baseball, Tony. That's almost the entire SEC. So, you know, let's let college sports, the rest of us, let's just, you know, go back to playing good old fun college sports, and the SEC can do their own thing. I won't miss them that much, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just funny to me. They don't want to work within the confines of everybody. They're better than everybody. They don't need any of us.
Nope, they don't.
So,
all right, let's play some Chris versus the Man.
I like it.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
This is where Scraby reads the rules, Frank. Got him?
We don't know.
I don't know. I knew
it.
There was a space there, I was like,
who usually talks here? Oh, yeah. This is Scraby's part.
All right, yeah. So you have to make it through three questions, of which we don't have too many. Each question will get more and more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets the question right, you are eliminated. If Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question. Or if it's question three, you win. If you're a first-time
player,
you get to skip question one and go straight to question two. So let us know so you get your free answer right.
Word up.
Perfect.
All right. Who's our first contestant?
Alrighty, let's see. Our first contestant will be, let's go with Ricky in San Diego.
Ricky in San Diego, welcome to the show, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Good. Doing well.
Good luck, Ricky.
Here we go, first question. How many times has Shohei Ohtani won the MVP?
This is the first question?
Ooh. Yeah, first question.
Man, we're in San Diego. We shouldn't be knowing about Shohei.
That a boy. You tell him, Ricky.
And that's fine, but you're going to be going out of this
I'm
game.
I'm going to go one time.
One time MVP.
Just one.
Unfortunate.
By the way, I should ask. It's all MVPs because he's. I think he won in the American League. So that
yes,
think,
it's,
we
it's
won
all
two there. One, three.
Three.
No.
That yeah. is correct.
He's already won three. Rick. In the minds of Dodger fans, he's already won four. Like, they've already given him the award this year.
Yeah, I think that's a little
premature. It's
annoying
me, yeah.
Next contestant.
Let's go with Scott in Carlsbad.
Hey, Scott. Hello, Scott in Carlsbad.
Hey, boys, how you doing?
Pretty good, sir.
How about yourself?
Living the dream.
Living the dream. All right, here we go. First question. Which Braves pitcher cut up a bunch of uniforms while he pitched for the White Sox?
In a moment of fury.
he pitched. He's now the Braves.
Currently a Brave
he's
pitcher.
Currently
yes.
a Brave when he was the with the
when
White
he was
Sox.
With the White Sox, he lost his mind and cut up a bunch of jerseys with a scissor. With a knife. I don't know what he used. He's weird. He's pitching right now. I'll give you a little clue, Kevin.
Oh, Chris Sale.
There you go. You got it. Good job.
That was going to be my guess anyways.
Okay, there you go.
That might get Chris off the hook with the folks on the line.
Yes, that's true. I know you're right about that, Tony. The people online don't like when we give hints.
All right, question number two. Which two teams played in the first ever NFL game in Brazil? Last year.
Oh, last year. Okay.
They were both green, and there was a problem with that because there was an issue with
the
local soccer team. It's the Eagles and the Packers.
Very good.
Nice work.
Well done. Way to come up with that, Kevin. Nice job.
All right. Here we go. Question
for the win. I'm Scott. Yes, I had Kevin's on hold. Never mind.
Scott, next question.
I'm new to this game.
Welcome.
All right. Manny Machado's hitting streak ended at 14 games over the weekend. Who owns the longest hitting streak ever by a Padre third baseman?
So, I know the answer to this because you guys asked this a week ago.
Oh,
it's
Scraby
a repeat question.
Scraby, so
and Chris got it wrong. It's Gary Sheffield, the guy with the best back swing.
There you go. I got to give it to Scott.
Yeah,
man.
It's not his fault that this question's still in there.
Yeah, I guessed somebody weird. I forgot who I guessed, but it wasn't
Gary
Sean Sheffield.
Burroughs.
Sean Burroughs, thank you for reminding me, Scott, of my embarrassment. Stay there,
nice
Scott.
Nice work, Scott.
Have fun. Yeah, good job.
Hang on the line.
And by the way, anybody who's out there, okay, well, he already heard the question. Every trivia answer that's ever been gotten
has been
is because you've heard the answer somewhere. That you wouldn't get it otherwise. So
that is a fact.
That's a fact. Good job, Scott.
All right. Scott's good work has left us with a few minutes to to kill here.
Well, I'm always a fan of that. Not always. I did see, and this is becoming now a thing, Tony, the new coach of the Nuggets, David Adelman. And his dad coached the famous Portland teams.
That is his dad.
Yes.
Okay.
The Drexler Portland teams, Rick Adelman. But David is now the head coach of the Nuggets. And he came out and he said, very similarly, the same thing that your guy, J.J. Redick, said with the Lakers. And that was that now the season's over, he wants his team in better shape next year. Interesting to me. I think the players all get what these coaches are trying to get at. Put a little extra mileage on, whatever it might be, to just get an edge. I don't think that either coach is saying their players are fat and out of shape, which is the way all the Laker haters took it when J.J. Redick said that about the Lakers. Because if you weren't in shape, are you kidding me? You wouldn't get through 80 games.
Yeah, no.
Right? This whole notion that these guys are, you know.
I think he's trying what he's trying to do is get his guys to have a different type of. It's almost kicking into another gear. Clearly, look at you don't get to be like top three in the world by being like completely out of shape.
I wouldn't think.
That's just not something that happens. But I will say I have seen some pictures of Luka here recently, and my man is looking.
He's taking the
words of J.J. Redick.
I hate to
seriously.
Tell people, if Luka does get in like. It's like if he gets cut or whatever that word should be. I mean,
it leans out a little bit.
The guy's already unbelievable.
He looks like he did in his rookie season. Mm. I don't know if you've seen some of the videos of him. He looked a little more lean.
Luka.
I'm not mad at it at all.
One more minute left. Commissioner Rob Manfred today.
You were going to go there. Yeah.
He said that his recent decision to put Pete Rose and Joe Jackson back on the ballot says his decision was overdue. I wonder if that is his way of referencing the fact that people think he only did this because of pressure from the White House, even. I mean, Buster only said that exact thing on our show.
He did.
So others, I'm sure, are thinking it. So you think Rob Manfred's trying to just try to get out of that process?
I think he's trying to get everybody off of that for sure. He said I'd say three things. He said this to CBS Mornings. You know what? Let's hold this and get on the other side.
Yeah, good idea.
We'll talk about what Rob Manfred said to CBS Morning when we return. We're going to Chris, here's some traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for being with us today. Don't forget, 5 o'clock today, a commercial-free hour of nothing but Padre talk. I just will give you one thing that we're going to talk about. All of us were asked by Ben Higgins to name our Padre MVP through the first one-third of the season. Tony chose somebody, Woods, myself, Ben, Sam Levitt, and then there was Scraby's selection. And so I just want you guys to listen for that. That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, to be fair, Scraby went third. So
right, you couldn't repeat a selection.
Right.
That's right. You couldn't repeat it.
But Scraby went third, so you don't have to wait long.
You won't have to wait long, but you need to hear who he's picking. And it's not a knock on the player he's picking. It's a knock on Scraby. Don't miss that. He is the best.
He is bad.
All right, so Rob Manfred says, yes, reinstating Pete Rose was long overdue. And you're about to say what he told, because it was an interview he did with CBS this morning. So
he said, I would say three things.
Okay.
Number one, our permanently ineligible list is effectively a ban on working in the game. This is a matter of logic. There's no reason to have a person who has passed away still on the list.
To which somebody might say, why didn't you list Joe Jackson then get reinstated 80 years ago?
Right. Number two, Pete Rose is a part of the history of our game. Every other player, including Shoeless Joe Jackson, has been considered by the Hall of Fame, and they've made a decision. I saw no reason to leave Pete Rose out of there as one of one, no consideration.
Uh-huh.
Manfred discussed the particulars of Rose's punishment that the all-time Hit King accepted in a settlement when then-Commissioner A. Bartlett
Giamatti.
In August 1989. And then last, I think what people don't realize is Pete Rose wasn't disciplined by Commissioner Giamatti. He entered a settlement agreement with the league. At the time they entered into the settlement, he went on the permanent ineligible list knowing that the rules allowed the Hall of Fame to consider him. Commissioner Giamatti went out, had a press conference the day of the settlement, and he was asked about the Hall of Fame, and he said, this settlement should have nothing to do with the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame should consider Pete Rose under its existing rules, so I see the decision as baseball living up to the deal that they originally made with Pete Rose.
It's funny because he never really addressed why now.
No.
He really didn't. He just said a whole bunch of stuff that covered up for the fact that Buster Olney at least believes that he was succumbing to pressure from Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Whether that's true or not, maybe only the commissioner knows. But we'll see where that goes.
No doubt.
Nobody really thinks he's going to get in anyway.
Yeah,
in 2027. There are some
hard feelings from the generation that he played in, which are, some of those guys will be voting. That they won't let him in. There was an article in The Athletic not that long ago from guys who played, with the exception of maybe, I think, Tony Perez, who was his teammate.
Yeah.
Don't let
Johnny Bench have a vote. Pete's not going to get close with Johnny.
And that was his teammate as well.
Yeah,
so
Johnny did not like him.
You have a lot of different perspectives on it. And so, listen, I don't think it's a win-win for Manfred, right? If indeed he is succumbing to pressure, he could knock that out. And at the same time, also know that, you know, there's a chance that he still won't get in regardless. And so I understand what Rob is saying, but to your point, then he could have addressed this a long time ago, especially with some of the other dudes that he ended up letting in, right?
Yeah. Okay, we had a minute here before. We're going to do a big five at the bottom of the hour. I hope Frank wasn't going to talk about this, but I am. The Miami Dolphins are in the news today.
I have a feeling he was not going to talk about that.
Okay, good. I don't know. The Miami Dolphins, I just want to point out, had one Pro Bowl player last year. Only one. Do you remember who it was, Tony? You may if you saw the story today, but if not,
I did not see the story.
Okay, can you guess?
Defense?
Offensive player was owned by many fantasy
running back
teams. Nope. He had a good fantasy season.
Oh, tight end.
Tight end. Yes. Jonnu Smith was the only Miami Dolphin Pro Bowler. Set a franchise record for receptions and receiving yards by a tight end. I guess that's why the Dolphins have called the Steelers, apparently, and said, hey, you want this guy? And it comes down to the fact that he, Jonnu Smith, would like to rework his contract. This is what, and the Dolphins are trying to move Jalen Ramsey for similar reasons. His contract's gotten too expensive, etc. I think sometimes it is addition by subtraction. You've got to cut loose some people. You know, I get it, in football especially. But when you finally get a guy that, you know, makes the Pro Bowl and he's, you know, on the upswing in his career, I just think it, you know, either pay him or don't expect to win games.
Right.
That's how I think it. And this is seems typical for their organization. And they're going to try to make it sound good, but it's not. This is a good player who's only getting better. I don't know why you would want to move that.
You know, it's a little different in football because they have the salary cap. But, you know, hey, they got. I don't think that they've been good enough for them to
be moving anybody.
Not only to be moving anybody, it's like they are stuck in like this weird spot where
they're in a terrible.
They're not good enough to like re-sign guys and keep them and be able to kind of, you know, reason why.
Yeah.
But they also are not bad enough to where they could like be shipping guys off.
The worst record in football is 8-9,
right?
Because you're in the middle there.
Yeah,
the Steelers and the Dolphins, sources say, are talking about a trade.
I tell you what,
so we'll see how that goes.
If this thing doesn't work out for Pittsburgh, they might be in trouble in terms of Mr. Quarterback.
Terry Bradshaw seemed to be all in on getting Aaron Rodgers. Oh, man.
He let off some steam.
I didn't know Terry could still, you know, fire off a directive like that.
He definitely fired off a directive.
Yes, he was quite upset with that they would even think of bringing
Aaron
Rodgers.
I mean, he's not
Rodgers.
The first person that has said that. I mean,
no, but.
And, you know, he's not the first former Steeler. I think Ryan Clark basically said the same thing. Like, you've laid in this bed. You're going to have to see how it goes, works out from this point on. Like, this is, if he decides he's retiring, whew. It could be a tough season.
Happiest coach in the NFL, Tony, weren't here to talk about it yesterday, is our guy Mike Vrabel, though. Now having to deal with questions about Stephon Diggs every day. You know he didn't want them to bring in a distraction like this. This is exactly what Vrabel doesn't want.
See, I look at it different. I think clearly doesn't want the distraction,
okay.
But he definitely wanted my man in on that roster. They didn't. He likes players like that.
Okay.
Now, I think there's a certain amount of discipline that he's going to expect. And, you know, I think Diggs is going to have to get in on that or he will be short-lived there because I think he will have no hesitation in moving on. But I think this is like the first straw. I don't think this is the last straw for him at this point.
I hope that works. I'm a Stephon Diggs fan, actually.
He hasn't really been in any trouble off the field. His trouble comes when he's not getting the ball, which is a whole different thing.
He and every other receiver.
Right.
And one last thing on NFL, Tyreek has made some headlines. Tyreek Hill says he's going to get back to being a number one guy.
He said,
I'll believe it when I see it, Tyreek.
He said he basically said he kind of took his foot off the gas in terms of his preseason work.
I thought he was injured. I've heard so many excuses, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah.
They injured his shoulder when they tackled him when he was arrested on opening day.
Yeah.
It was a bad season for Tyreek.
Bad year for Tyreek,
yeah.
For sure.
And everybody who owned him in fantasy felt that pain.
No doubt. Is it you or me?
It's me. We got a big five. We'll see what else is going on with Frank and keep you up to date. Gwen and Chris, 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Through the fan.
Watching a tremendous pitcher-hitter matchup right now.
Good duel.
Chris Sale. Mr. Schwarber. Schwarber looking all slim these days, man. Good for him.
And it's not even the pinstripes. I think he looks that good in the road unis, too. Schwarber can hit the ball a long way. You got to admire that. Unless you're, you know.
He has one of the shorter swings.
Is that?
For a power hitter.
How does he get the. What would you do to increase bat speed? Are there exercises for this that somebody could try?
They got the heavy bats now and the weighted balls to kind of.
Down he goes.
There's a punch out.
The old curveball.
That's what I was explaining Sell to Jesse on the air the other day. He is like, he's got like a Randy Johnson vibe, right? He's throwing 96 to 98. But Randy used to throw his slider at like 90, 91. He throws his at like 81. So it's like you get
it's
these
like
hard
a change
fastballs.
Up slider, yeah.
And then it's like a curveball speed slider. And if for a left, it's starting behind you. Like you're like hoping, like, please God, don't let this ball.
Right, most of us would run far away from the batter's box.
Because you're like, you lose it for a second. You know, it's not the most secure
can't be
feeling
a comfortable
you have
at bat.
No, not at all.
Randy Johnson always looked like he could just drop the ball from his hand into the catcher's
that's
glove.
That's what my dad
so
used to say.
Close.
It was like it literally looked like he could just put the ball in the catcher's glove.
Yeah, that had to be so.
From the mound. We do have a Big Five coming your way. Traffic ready yet? Still not ready yet. All right. Well, let's just go ahead and get into the Big Five because we can be a little long-winded at times, and we don't have the kind of time to be as long-winded today. No carryovers today. So let's get to it. Little Big Five on the way.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All righty.
So let's,
by the way, I just want to make the point right now. We need to get this out on the record. Frank has elected not to be on camera.
What? Why would this. Why would I set the cameras up for 10 minutes?
You know why. We don't need to get into why, but you know why. So I just want to put that out there.
Because he's wearing his Indiana Go Indiana Pacers jersey and he doesn't want the Knicks fans out there to see him.
That also could be a reason.
Yeah, Frank.
The show is about you guys. It's not about me. All you guys don't need to be staring at me looking at a computer for 3 hours.
The great Matthew Scraby does it that way. So I'm just saying.
Good for him.
Okay. Hey, teach his own. You're right. Go ahead.
Number five.
All right. The Washington Capitals had a little bit of a panic yesterday. As they said, no decision has been made on Alexander Ovechkin's future in the NHL after an email was sent to season ticket holders calling next season his last.
Oh.
The team on social media said the email was mistakenly sent by someone in the corporate sales team. He said he does intend to play in his 21st season in the NHL, but he has not said anything officially. I can remember one media blunder that big, but what about you guys?
Oh, wait, you want me to
wait? Like, so
they sent an email to all their season ticket holders saying that this will be Ovechkin's last.
Make sure you
year.
Get tickets. This is his last year, and he hasn't decided yet.
They had that once. Ready to go for when he
just
does decide.
In case.
Okay,
it got out now.
I'll bet
that's uncomfortable.
You guys, any?
No. What do you have? I mean, share.
Oh, for me, it was again Formula One. You guys wouldn't know this,
okay.
But one team said they had signed a driver to their team. He said, "No, I have done no such thing." And then about 24 hours later, signed with the team that he's currently on now and leading
Which
the championship
was a different
with. Alpine said that they had signed him. He signed with McLaren. He's currently leading the World Drivers' Championship with McLaren.
Well, at least
right
they
now.
Had the right target. They didn't actually land it, but, you know, could get some points for that.
That letter that the season ticket holders got sent, like, you can't bring that back.
Nah, you can't.
No.
It's gone. It reminds me of the time I called... trying to fish out who the new Laker coach was. And I told this story before, so I'll tell a really short one. But Mike Dunleavy was in town, and I caught him in the hotel. Did I tell you? I told you this story.
I think
story.
You told us this, yeah.
And Mike Dunleavy answered the phone, and I said, "Coach Dunleavy?" And he goes, "Yeah, who's this?" And I go, "Well, it's a reporter, Chris." And he goes, "Oh, I don't think I'm supposed to be talking to you."
I don't think I'm supposed
it was too
to
late.
Be talking to you.
I had it. He was in town. And oops. He was going to get hired. And the next day he did get hired. But, yeah, that was just kind of the same oops type thing. And when I met him the next day, he said, yeah, I had just walked in my room and hadn't had a chance to have my phone turned off. And you got in there in that one second of time.
That's back when cold calling was the was the work right there.
That's what you had to do.
I can't think of one.
Yeah. This is embarrassing. And, it's you tough. Know, it doesn't help the front office's negotiating position.
If he actually, if they sent that knowing that he actually was leaning that way, they could really upset him. Like, you guys let that out the bag before I let it out the bag.
Yeah, that's not a great look. Nah. Not a great day to be a Washington Capitals salesperson.
Number four.
Not that one.
Major League Baseball is purchasing an equity stake in the Athletes Unlimited Softball League, partnering with the fledgling league that has that is preparing for its first four-team season and plans to expand in the future. With women's sports revenue now exceeding in excess of $1 billion per year, the MLB helps to establish the AUSL. There was a word in there I couldn't pronounce. I ripped this. I had 5 minutes to prepare for this.
I do that all the time. You're good, dog.
I had 5 minutes to prepare
Just
for this.
Just skip right over that word. We'll figure it out as you finish the rest of the story.
The AUSL, as a viable term entity in sports that has seen multiple professional leagues fold, Major League Baseball's stake in the AUSL is more than 20%, and the league will assist the AUSL in marketing and content distribution in addition to financial components. A pretty good move by the AUSL to get this in, and now to see where they can go with it.
I think this is where it's at, and this is how you know sports is growing in general, right? I mean, you're seeing it. This is the softball version of the three-on-three league that the women have, that I believe the WNBA also has a stake in. So, like, I like the fact that these other sports are, these bigger sports are supporting, are getting in on some of these up and are these new leagues that are being created. I think it gives them some kind of backbone a little bit with some of these big entities investing in them.
I'm also just, you know, in favor.
Softball too. Good.
I'm in favor of anything that's helping women's sports grow, because it really is getting big, and it should, and it's long overdue. And I also saw that the commissioner of the softball league is Kim Ng.
Yes.
So they're in pretty good hands with her. Look, the Marlins just left town. They probably could still use Kim Ng. The only success they've ever had was when she was running the show.
The GM they fired after
After the only time they ever won anything. Yeah.
I believe softball's coming back to the Olympics as well for this this upcoming Olympics, too. So that's a nice little boost for them as well.
I like
number three.
Chicago Bears quarterback Caleb Williams on Wednesday defended his commitment to the organization that drafted him with the number one pick last year. Following Chicago's second OTA practice that was open with the media, Williams delivered a 3-minute, 55-second opening statement. It's like, really? We're counting down the seconds of an NFL presser?
Wow.
How long was Mike Schilt's presser last night? Somebody in the media, tell me.
I'm with you.
Opening statement that addressed his feelings about the Bears related to the pre-draft process. Excerpts from Seth Wickersham's upcoming book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, revealed that Williams and his father, Carl, had considered ways for the former Heisman Trophy winner to avoid being drafted by the Bears. Williams said, quote, the book's expert has been... have been a, quote, distraction over the past 2 weeks, so he wanted to address it publicly for the first time. Controversy cleared up and done.
I like that he did this. He was going to get asked about it, attacked it head on, let it be known that, listen, the most important part of those excerpts that you read was that I said in the end, oh, I can definitely do this here. And that he's been on that since that moment. It's okay for a young kid not knowing his situation to learn a little bit about it and then say, you know what? I'm all in. Let's go.
Caleb's father's created some Lonzo Ball type problems for him. So I hope that he's able to put it behind him. I like that
he addressed his dad, too, in this press conference. Yeah. I don't know if you read it. He basically said, listen, my dad is a strong-willed man that up until this point had been kind of the leader of my career. And so, yeah, I had to have the conversation with him and my mom. Like, listen, there's a time, there's a place. I respected that. He was very candid about the conversation that he had to have with his pops moving forward. So I think that's the type of signs you want to see from your quarterback handling this.
Unfortunately, for everyone who put money on it, the over-under was 4 minutes on the interview. So, sorry,
didn't
guys.
Didn't quite get there.
Sorry, hey, just missed it by 5 seconds.
Hang with them, you degenerates.
Missed it by 5 seconds.
Number two.
All right, the SEC, back again with the SEC. This time we're going the basketball side, is ratcheting up penalties on schools for fans who storm the field or rush the court, doing away with an escalating fine system, and are now straight up charging schools $500,000 per incident.
Wow.
The motivation was field rushing is field rushing the first time or the 18th time for the move. That was what Commissioner Greg Sankey on Thursday's said in Thursday's announcement of the decision. Quote, the random nature of if you're the one getting rushed, it doesn't feel good. It might be the first time it happened there, but it might be the sixth time in a row it happened there, literally, unquote. The conference also has the authority to waive the fine if the visiting team and officials are allowed to get to the locker room before the fans get down to the court or the field.
Is the concern safety? Is that
that must, especially with that last part, that's got to be the concern is safety of the players and the
opposing
students.
Yeah. I don't know. This I get why they do it. It makes sense. But it does take away like a tradition that we all grew up watching people storm. And I guess it used to be only in specific situations that happened, and we've kind of lost feel for that as well.
It used to be for when, like, UC San Diego would go into Purdue and knock off number one Purdue. That was when you did it.
Rather, when
Purdue would come here. When Purdue would come here.
Exactly.
That was when it would happen.
Before UCSD students would not rush this.
Exactly. But that was why it happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you're just doing it to do it.
It's funny that I think it all kind of goes in with the fan behavior. Like, there was a feel for when those things were supposed to happen. Now it just feels like they saw it, what happened on TV when they were little. They're just out there doing it now.
Yep.
You're right. It's sad to see those things go, but sometimes you got to protect. You got to protect what's happening.
I'm in the minority on this, and there are a million reasons why. You can tell me I'm wrong, and I've heard them. But because one kid fell off his bike and conked his head, the rest of the world wears a helmet, and it's probably a better thing. Don't get me wrong. But in the same vein, I think this happened. They stormed the court for 25, 30, 40 years. Nobody cared. Somebody got hurt. Somebody got run over. Somebody got bloody. Somebody got bloody an elbow, and now nobody can run the court anymore. And that's, I think, too bad.
$500,000 fine now, too. That's a pretty good
reason. Yeah, where does that go to?
You know, it's funny you brought up the bike thing. I was having this argument with my wife the other day. She, like, loses her mind when my son hops on the bike and just rides. I was like, you know, we, like, never had a bike on our heads ever.
Not going to matter. You're not winning this one. But I would try it if I were you, Tony. But yeah, wouldn't expect much.
All right.
Number one.
All right, last attempt at...
Look at us. 447. We're about to do number one. Look at you, Frank.
Well, no, that's what happens.
Traffic cop.
That's what happened. Well, no, it's not traffic cop. It's me reading someone else's writing for the first time and wanting to stop myself look like an ass.
The point is, we got it done way before we normally do.
Yeah.
The National Football Foundation announced an adjustment to eligibility criteria Thursday that will open the door to make Mike Leach a College Football Hall of Famer. Leach, the late coach from Texas Tech, Washington State, and Mississippi State, had a winning percentage of 0.596, just short of the old benchmark that coaches would need to win 60% of their games. The new rule sets eligibility at, does anyone want to take a guess?
Wait a second. You have to have 60% to even be eligible?
Yes.
I did not even know that.
You want to guess what the new benchmark is?
I hope it's at least 59.
It is 595.
And he's at 596?
And he's at 596.
The Mike Leach rule.
Which would also extend new life to former Oklahoma State, LSU, and Kansas coach Les Miles, who has a .597 winning percentage after 37 wins with the Tigers were vacated due to NCAA infractions. Good decision by college football.
What's the percentage you got to get to?
The percentage you had to win 60%, so you had to have a 600 winning percentage.
Now you're at the 595.
Yeah, now you're at 595. Leach is at 596. Les Miles is at 597, and Jackie Sherrill, who's also in here, is at 595.
And they're adjusting it so that they can be Hall of Famers.
That's what they want.
It makes them eligible now.
I don't want to be that guy.
Please be that guy.
But you know. With all due respect to the late Mr. Leach,
he did lock a kid in a shed apparently one time.
it was my man's kid. Move.
Yeah, Craig James.
Craig James's son. And put on a second, because coaches, I'm sure plenty of coaches in the Hall of Fame have done a lot worse than
locking
kids.
That's what I was going to say. If you eliminated all the college coaches that have cheated the system or done something, then nobody'd be in.
Yeah. Not holding that against him. However, he didn't have the winning percentage.
Right.
Now he does, though.
Change the rule. I don't think they should change the rule. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
Are we just going to keep lowering the standards because something, tragic happened?
I don't think anybody felt Mike Leach was quite a Hall of Fame coach before he passed away.
Who wants to do this?
That would be the National Football Foundation.
I don't know. Okay.
What's the
argument to doing it?
He's a good coach. He's a Hall of Famer. He's that close. You may as well put him in.
Were you thinking about that for Les Miles that you just went over? They weren't thinking about it then.
I don't know.
Chris, what do you think?
I have no problem with Mike Leach. I think he's an innovator, and for that, he probably deserves a little more credit.
I
don't disagree with you. You make a rule, that's it. Why do we have to move the goalpost every time?
You know what rule I just make right now?
What is that?
An executive decision that I made. I say we go to traffic.
Good call.
All right. Frank, you got through the big five. Tony, you brought something up before the show, and we haven't talked about it, and it's interesting. Anthony Edwards, comments after being eliminated, and whether we should just accept them as fair comments or whether we should say we should be critical of what he said.
I wish we had time to pull up the clip.
Yeah, we don't have the whole.
He was asked basically... was he hurt by getting this close again and not actually getting past it? And he's virtually said no, that he's excited because at 23 he gets to keep doing this. And I interpreted that as keep getting to get to the conference final and have a chance to get to a final.
Yeah.
He said he was disappointed for himself that he didn't fulfill Mike Conley's probably last hurrah getting that deep. And so the conversation now has turned, people are conversating about him, assuming that he's going to be in a conference final every year versus, maybe being upset because you don't know how many chances. I saw, who was it, Portis?
Bobby Portis of the Bucks.
Was saying that very same thing.
They got to the finals, and they have been nowhere close since they won it. Dan Marino, I'm sure, thought he was going to the Super Bowl every year.
I'm sure my father thought that. He was going to the World Series.
Your dad got there in his second year. Or third season. Yeah, when you're young, you're too, too stupid to know that it really is hard to get to where these guys get.
You
should cherish those chances.
I got to experience the postseason once, in my second season playing in the big leagues. And then never again. I got close in 10 to having the experience again, but it's hard. It's really hard to get to playoffs. And you never know. Something could happen. Somebody can get hurt on your team. You're in the lottery from one year to the next. So I don't know. He's 23, so it's okay for him to think like this. At 23, we all felt like we were indestructible and that – the good things that happen, we keep experiencing.
Well, that's why we didn't wear the helmets that they now make us put on.
Exactly.
Because we were indestructible.
Exactly.
Yes, it makes more sense now. Well, Ant-Man, you came up short, and we'll find out if Frank's Knicks come up short here tonight.
Let's go Knicks.
At the
Let's
Garden.
Go Knicks.
One thing we know, there'll be a nice celebrity crowd, I'm sure.
Yes, there will be.
It's always a highlight of a Knicks game.
Who can't get up to play with all those people?
By the way, is Reggie Miller allowed to call the game or not? I heard there was a lot of pushback because
he called the game?
Because he's a former Pacer and he's been like exchanging glances with Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, but he's calling it neutral.
Oh, of course he is. Of course he is.
Every other opposing team's fans hate the Nationals.
Yeah. And Mike Breen, who does a million Knicks games, is the Knicks announcer.
Get out of here.
So stop it.
All right. That's going to do it. Roundtable up next. Back at it again tomorrow. We'll be in different places, but nonetheless, enjoy your night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.